Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Today is the 7th, November 2019, Thursday class. So we will get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchāchāra viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Musāvādā viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Surāmeraya macchāpamādatthāna viramani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa dittena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa. Siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena ca ho tu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anung kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pojanang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merge to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. We are off the light. Then you can have half an hour of silent awareness-based meditation. I will set the alarm. For those who have already developed the understanding of meditation, you can straight away proceed. When you understand how to do it, then meditation becomes very simple. The basis of meditation is just to understand that you have two minds. One is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, which is dependent originating condition arising that give rise to thinking, thought process, sankhara activities. Whereas your true mind is none of all this, beyond the thought, beyond the thinking, beyond the aggregates of mind, is your true nature within. Just relax, maintain awareness, then allow the mundane mind to slow down and finally become very quiet, very still. For those who are still new, who don't have the understanding, what will happen is you will find it very difficult to realize that silence, that stillness, or that tranquility of mind. But don't worry, because when you don't have a stability of daily mindfulness and the five spiritual faculties are not stable, this sankhara activity will be there. The mental hindrance will be there, because throughout the day, most of the time, people who don't have the spiritual faculties develop, you cannot develop daily mindfulness. So you tend to have mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So this will create heedless living. And when you come here to sit to meditate, this heedless thinking, which has been so rampantly arising throughout your activity in daily life, it will take a while for them to slow down and settle down. But be patient. Don't develop any mental states of like or dislike, pleasant or unpleasant, or stirring of mind. Just accept the reality of this mind. The untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance are there. Just allow it to be. And because this mind is dependent originating, finally it will slow down. You don't feed it with any more thought energy. You just let it be. Whatever you want to do, let it be. You just maintain awareness. Means every moment of contact, just aware, finish. Don't continue with the thinking. Don't allow the sankhara to proliferate. Just aware, finish, aware, finish. Whatever that mundane mind is arising, it has to be on something. That object, or at the sense basis, when it arises, the awareness, just aware, finish. Continue to relax and maintain awareness in this way. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Like you are a dead person. Yeah. Then it will settle down very fast. It will help you. Yeah. For some who would like to use the mind sweeping method, followed by metta, to help you decondition the heedless thinking, then you can also do it. You find that the heedless thinking, the heedless activity of mind is like very strong. Then you use the mind sweeping method. But most of you don't need to do that, because by now, most of you should have some form of spiritual faculty and basic daily mindfulness. Yeah. For those who have developed, you straight away can go into the meditative peace, the inner calmness, inner awareness, then the thought will straight away slow down and become very quiet and very still. Then stay at the heart area, just relax, silent, maintain awareness. Then everything will just slow down until finally even the heartbeat become very subtle, very still, like no movement at all. Then the mind is just quiet by itself with the awareness, nothing else. The moment it wants to know, That is Sankara activity. That is the mundane mind activity. So develop those understanding. Continue to allow it to be until it becomes very, very quiet, very still. Then sometimes there is like a shift of consciousness. When it happens, it's like suddenly the mind becomes aware of that stillness, the silence within. Then when you are able to be with that nature, then you realize all the background vibration could be insect sound or even the ticking of the clock or whatever very subtle activity. Normally you are not able to perceive it because of the sankara activity, but because your mind has entered that state of silence and stillness, that's why it becomes sensitive. It has that clarity and it can be aware. So when that thing happens, it's very good. Just continue to be aware, finish. Whatever that comes by within your field of consciousness, just aware. Then allow it to be. So stabilize this tranquility, stillness of mind, the silence of mind within. When you are able to do it, you will develop good understanding that through mind, when you are able to be with it and when you understand what that thing is, you can develop a lot of understanding, wisdom out of it. Then it can allow you to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How the mundane mind arise from there, how thought activity arise from there, and how your habitual tendency condition you to do things. All this, you start to witness them without words, just way within. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. I will stop the instruction and you can continue with the meditation. Remember the four support: relax, aware, and maintain for as long as you can. Literally is 24 hours. The last support is trust. That one you don't do until you connect with your true nature, until you can have the condition to realize that silent mind, then you can stabilize it. When you are able to stabilize it, then that nature will meditate on its own without thought. That's why trust. Trust means trust that nature to develop the meditation or the movement and the understanding. Do not interfere with the thought or the thinking. Okay, now you can meditate. you all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Turn to page 6. We all chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages which give heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Itti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Ija charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Totaro purisa dhamma sarati Tadeva manusanam do bhagavati Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sandhittiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pajatang veditabho vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato sakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato sakasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato sakasango Samichi patipano bhagavato sakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 do. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Budang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax and maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A. You just have to raise your hand. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question relating to the Dhamma and the meditation? So, then we're not around, we pass to Edo.
Okay,
Edo, yes.
Yeah, Brother Teo. Today, for the meditation, I did follow the way to meditate, which is to inquire into the why we can have, like, for example, the tactile sensation, or why we sometimes due to our past condition, we tend to behave in a way that we can't even understand why we can suddenly have behavior. So,
but when you meditate, you don't do that. When you meditate, you just relax, maintain awareness. When you meditate, you don't go and contemplate and do all these things. If you go and do that, means you are not meditating. Do you do that thing when you are meditating? Don't go and find out. When you are meditating, you find out means you are not meditating, means your thought is actively trying to understand. That's why you didn't get the understanding correct. So when you meditate, just meditate means relax, aware. Then let the stillness arise, let the silent mind arise. Let the true nature arise. That one is the one that will understand. Then when you come out of it, only you reflect and contemplate what actually happened. But when I give instruction, I have to tell you. I have to use words. That's why when you listen, you have to listen attentively so that you don't get it wrong. But luckily, because you asked the question, so from the way you reported and arise the question, I know you have been doing that. So never mind, at least you learn from this. When you meditate, just meditate. Because to meditate is to realize your true mind. That's it. Then that true mind will understand. It doesn't have to go through the knowledge, the thought process, all those things. Is in the midst of silent, aware, tranquil, still, that nature can understand. That nature will understand, not the thought. Then after the meditation, you can reflect and contemplate what happened. Then you can use words to develop the clear understanding so that you can stabilize the understanding. Because human mind, you are so used to words, concept, and thoughts. So the mundane mind's purpose is for you to use, to live life, to develop understanding of life. You only use it when you need it. But when you meditate, don't use it. You have to meditate, you use it, you are not meditating. You are creating sankhara activity, mind states. That's why that seeking, if you seek from the thought, you cannot realize the state that is beyond thought. That's why you don't seek from memory, from the known, from the thought process. That type of seeking will cause you to get lost. You will become more and more deluded and deceived. So the real seeking is when you understand that the thing you are going to seek is the enlightened state of mind, the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you cannot use thought, you cannot use mind, you cannot use memory or knowledge within the field of thought. Whatever that is already known, that's why knowledge binds. You remember the previous Thursday, I think a few Thursday back, the Mandarin word just now, I didn't rub off, it's on the other side. 所知障. Whatever you come to know is knowledge, and that one bind, because knowledge cannot free you. Only wisdom free you. Understanding liberates the mind. So the understanding part is very important. So when you understand during meditation, you just meditate. Then after the meditation, you will start to understand many things. That's why you don't reflect or contemplate unless you have developed the skill, the understanding. After some period of cultivation, when you have developed the understanding, then it's different. Then in the midst of that, what we call formal meditation, when you are in that state, then certain things can happen. But within that moment when it happened, the awareness that is aware will develop the understanding, then straight away that nature inside there, because of the understanding, then you can reflect and contemplate, and you will know what it is. But when you are meditating, try not to initially, unless you are already very skillful. So most of the time, people who don't understand, they thought they had to use the mind, which is the thought process. They look for Dhamma, they look for the characteristics of nature, they look for Dhamma knowledge that they have acquired. So when you do that, you are not meditating anymore. You are using the mundane mind through knowledge to look for things. Then when you look for things, you become distracted by the thought process. Then the thought process will try to link the experience that you have gone through to the Dhamma knowledge. That's why people are caught in the concept, the words. They say, is this anicchang? Is this craving? Is this attachment? So while you develop all this, it's knowledge, it's from the thought. When you come out of it, you reflect and contemplate, then it's different. When you are meditating, just silent, aware. No need to do anything. Relax is very important. Then after that, let things be. Let the mind settle down. You have to realize that tranquility, that stillness of mind, that silent mind. While that process happened, just now I gave the description, you will have to go through it because everybody is different. Then also depend on your past, depend on your religious routine, then also depend on your skill that you have developed. The five spiritual faculties are very important. Then the daily mindfulness is also very important. Then the first and second turning wisdom, born of constant reflection, contemplation of the Dhamma that the Buddha has proclaimed, or the essential Dhamma. Then constantly listening to the Dhamma. This is a step within Avijja Sutta. Step 2. When you develop that, it can give rise to step 3 and step 4. Step 3 is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Because when you investigate, reflect, contemplate, and investigate into Dhamma, inquire into Dhamma, then when it stands up the investigation, your faith becomes very strong, very stable. Then because of that, you straighten your view. You no longer like before. As you straighten your view, your initial wisdom will arise. Yoniso manasikara. That one you contemplate out of the form of meditation. You do all those things. That one is daily mindfulness, awareness, the art of listening, and all the training, including Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Right Effort, everything. Then you reflect and contemplate what constitutes right thought, what constitutes evil, the essential Dhamma. You go through them. Then the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, all you have to go through it. That one is an entire field of daily mindfulness, contemplation, and reflection. But when it comes to the meditation, the form of meditation, you don't do that anymore. You just relax and aware. You're supposed to realize the true mind. And only the true mind can meditate and understand all this. The thought cannot. So, separate these two. Then you will understand. Then when you separate these two, you will progress in accordance with Avijja Sutta. So Avijja Sutta, after you have step 4, Yoniso Manasikara, your daily mindfulness will come to be, which is step 5, Sati. Then you have clear comprehension, the 4 types of clear comprehension, then you won't debate, you won't go wrong. So Sati Sampajana will come about where when you straighten your view, your daily mindfulness will become very stable, very different. Where at the moment of sense experience, you're no longer heedless like before. Your mind no longer react and stir with like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. It has more understanding because it has straightened its view. It can let things be, it can accept the reality of the moment. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Then like the Buddha say, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. You can accept them. Then your mind becomes more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, more and more equanimous. Because it has less problem. Means it can accept the reality of the moment. It can accept what is. So this type of mind that has transformed after the initial wisdom and training will bring forth the condition for your daily mindfulness to be very stable. You will have more moment of peace, more moment of quietness, stillness, tranquility, space between thought extended. Then throughout the day, you are like in the meditative state, fully aware. But to speed up this process, you need to go into the form of meditation. The form of meditation got 2 stages. The first stage is just to develop the ability to realize that true mind, that silent mind. When you can do that, that is just the beginning. Then you have to stabilize it until the mind enters the deep. So this one can also be done in 2 ways. One way is people who don't have the understanding, they don't have the ability to become peaceful and quiet because their mental hindrance are there. Their spiritual faculties are not developed. So for this type of people, they need to use method, technique or skillful means to anchor the mind. Like anapanasati or rising, falling or whatever, or even chanting. But these people, if they do that, they must understand what they are doing in the name of meditation. Because this is just training the mind to be aware and stabilize it. then like anapanasati, you have to develop the stability until the mind enters sati, which means that mind finally also realized pasati, the tranquility of mind or the stillness of mind. So if that is the case, then why waste time? Do you understand? Why go for all the method and technique and all that? Why not you just relax, silent anywhere and let it go to that state? So those who have the daily mindfulness developed, the five spiritual faculty developed, you realize the moment you sit, the stillness come, the awareness come. Because in the midst of life, you can already be mindful and aware. So when you sit, it's like very easy. No need to do anything. Just relax, aware, pop, you are in already. But initially, maybe some of you may take about a few minutes to settle down. That's why I say whatever sankhara that still arise, let it be, then it will settle down. Especially later on when you want to test yourself. When you want to really test your mind. Especially those who are working for the private sector or whatever. We are in the work environment, it's not easy to maintain daily mindfulness. You have to do a lot of things. So you can find out, you can try it out. Like what I did in the year 1989. After I came out to the private sector, I was with a consultant. There were so many things that I need to do. Last time as a client, I don't need to do anything. I just appoint consultant, coordinate, then arrange for the meetings and all those things. But when I came out to the private sector as a consultant, I need to learn how to do design again. I need to do many things. Then I need to read through the contract, conditions of contract and all those things, because it involves supervision and all those things. Then client consultant meeting, project meeting. Then sometimes you have those board meeting where you have to go and do presentation and all those things. During this time, if you don't have the stability of mindfulness and the wisdom, it's not easy to handle. But I went through it. I tested it. Then what happened was very strange. Initially, we are after about 8 hours, 9 to 5. For the first time, you go back into active calculation, design, and all those things. Then I realized this brain cannot work that way anymore. But it's so sensitive. The stress. I saw them. Then it's like telling you, you want to suffer? You go and do. You go and remember. You go and think. You go and do all this. Then end of the day, I still remember. Because I have a routine, I will meditate on. So every time lunch break or office, 5 o'clock finish, then I will relax, silent, then I will sit. Then I realize, because of that routine, the different type of routine, the new one, the routine of the consultant, I realized this sankhara activity was still there. The one that I was involved, those things that I want to do and remember. That's how I saw. Why this thought, not other thought? Then what I did was, because I completely understood what meditation is, for me it's so easy, I just relaxed, silent, I didn't do anything. Within less than 1 minute, all the sankhara slowed down, still. That's how I knew I don't have a problem anymore. Even if the form of mind want to, you call die, separate, no problem. Because the awareness is always there, that nature. I can return to that nature anytime, very fast. Then when I'm not working, my daily mindfulness is there. My awareness is there. But later on, 9 months later, when my mundane mind collapsed, all these problems normal. Everything become very different. will that nature shine forth? So these are the process that cultivator will have to go through. So I repeat, first, formal meditation, your aim is to realize the silent mind, then stabilize it until mind enters sati. Whether you do it with method, technique, mind serving method or whatever, those are just skillful means to anchor the mind, to develop mindfulness, then stabilize it. After you stabilize it, if you develop through anapanasati, you will experience piti, sukhang, and finally tranquility, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Stabilize that until that mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will know. Because everything that happens within your formal mind, even while you are sitting or lying down, is like magnified. The slightest movement is like magnified. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, it's like you realize everything you do is in sati. The bodily activity, physical activity, is one with your awareness. Then at the moment of seeing also, the awareness and the phenomena move as one, specific phenomenal awareness. Then hearing also same, because the mind is in sati. It is the awareness and the vibration as one. So everything is synchronized. The six senses operate differently already. Because when the mind has entered sati, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process is all in sati. That's why during that moment you can be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of arising of sankhara activity and movement. It can just stay there. No movement at all. Then the mind is very different. So this is the stage where you will go through. So after you have developed the ability to be aware in the midst of life, because your mind has entered sati, that time your daily mindfulness is very stable. Then you become heedful. Heedful is ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then during that time, I remember, the Dhamma keep on arising, the understanding keep on arising. That's why life itself is the greatest teacher. Every moment of life, there is Dhamma. Every moment, every instant, Dhamma is everywhere. Yeah. So this is how you have to develop it. Then, before the mind enters sati, you can do the normal one. First and second turning wisdom. Follow Avijja Sutta. Constantly listening to the Dhamma. Attend Dhamma activity. Then develop first turning wisdom through hearing. Then reflect, contemplate, inquire to stabilize it. You can do that while you are in a quiet environment, alone. The mind must be in the state of quietness. They call creative state. Creative state means it must be in a setting where it's very conducive, because it is something that your mind like to be in that place. So it can be when you are at home alone, quiet moment, just reflect, just contact, or while you're traveling, sitting on a bus, sitting in the car, or in the plane, in the flight. While in the plane, it's a form of meditation, because most of the time you are sitting. But at the same time, you can reflect and contemplate. Because you don't have to be in the form of meditation. When you have enough rest, when your nature already stabilized, you can reflect, you can contemplate, even while sitting in the plane. Then all the Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps, you will understand very fast. Especially the second step, do that until it stabilizes, until the faith becomes very stable, the step 3 and the step 4, the initial wisdom. Once that one comes, your mind enters the deep, daily mindfulness is there. So step 5 require both. The stability of daily mindfulness sati sampajana depend on your initial wisdom, first and second turning wisdom, yoniso manasikara, and also the mind must enter sati so that it has the ability to have that sensitivity to see the very subtle defilement that normal mind cannot see. And you become very sensitive. The slightest movement from your nature, you will know. Means that mundane mind, it wants to come out already, it wants to stir already, it wants to do things already. That's why the 4 right effort, the 2nd right effort, prevent the unwholesome thought from arising. This one you can never do unless your initial wisdom is there. You cannot do it. Yeah. But the first one is easier. The first one is abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. Means after it has arisen, then only you develop the awareness of it. Then you can use the 5 ways that the Buddha taught you, especially the 3rd and the 4th way, to develop the wisdom. That's why stay with it away. So when you are in a formal meditation, you can also do that, the 3rd way. The 3rd way is when there is pain, stay with it. When there is awareness of certain sensation, stay with it. It can be itchiness, like that day, Adam, yeah? Or it can be anything, like just now, Jin Hao was also sneezing, because it's the tactile thing inside there causing him. But if he will relax, yeah? Relax, it's different. Because you couldn't do anything, that's why it keep on coming. So if you just relax into it, silent, and let it be, then you find out what happened. That thing can cease. Even the itchiness can cease. The pain also can cease. Yeah. Then in the midst of life, daily mindfulness, when you have a situation where something really disturb you and make you like unhappy or stir your emotion, or sometimes there is fear, that is the best time to cultivate. Then straight away silent. Stay with that emotion. Well, that anger take a while to settle down. So stay with it. Stay with it means don't go and note it. Or silent everything and the awareness go to that emotion, that anger or that fear. The 2 are 1. And then you find out what happened. When the awareness is there, there is no more wrong view, wrong thought. That's why it cannot stir. It got no more energy. Then it will dissipate. You must see the anger dissipate. You must see the fear dissipate. Then you will come to a profound understanding that these are not intrinsic to your true mind. These are dependent originating mind state, condition arising, causal phenomena. They are not real. They don't belong to you. Anger was never you. Fear was never you. They arise due to delusion, wrong view, lack of understanding. That's why your mind still reacts. Then when it sees, you realize whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Exactly like what the Buddha said. Causal phenomena are like that. Dependent on cause it arise. If you silence your mind and don't do anything, there is no more sustaining condition, then it will cease. So when you are in the meditative state, it's also the same. When you are in the daily mindfulness, it's also the same. Especially your daily mindfulness. You have to see the phenomena there and then. Its moment of arising, sustaining and passing away without words. You can see them. Later on you realize everything is like that. So at the moment of its arising, where your awareness is with it. So so it will arise. Then the sustainment, you will come to know, depend on the supporting condition. If the supporting condition ceases to be, it ceases to be, like my voice. If I continue to speak, you continue to hear vibration. Yeah? You continue to perceive what I speak. Then you can learn first turning, second turning. But the moment I stop, what happens? That so-called vibration ceases to be. So sound is the best training, I realized. And that one gave me a lot of wisdom. Because during the early years when I meditate, I realized this sound and this vibration, when it is nearby, when the supporting condition is there, it will continue to arise. That's why when you go for a retreat, a lot of people don't like sound, don't like disturbance. For me, it's different. My nature can accept the reality. Then I'm silent. Then I saw the fluctuation, the change within. Because nature's condition keep on changing in a state of flux. Then that nature is that nature. The phenomena is the phenomena. Then the supporting condition, everything that nature will understand. Then all of a sudden, especially you go to Cameron, you meditate. All of a sudden, it's like you are suddenly in the stillness. Shift of consciousness, like suddenly just aware. And very clear that everything within the awareness, the oneness, is very clear to you. Oh, how come it can happen? Because you are with your true mind. When you are with your true mind, that nature just manifests. That's why you know that nature has nothing to do with the phenomena. You heard of this word, pneumona or not? Pneumona, opposite of phenomena. That nature is the pneumona. It's not a phenomena. Phenomena means whatever perceivable by the mundane mind is a phenomena. Pneumona, the mundane mind cannot perceive it. And what is a pneumona? Like the silence of nature. There is no sense data. There is no vibration in it. So the hearing consciousness cannot pick up. But how come you have a nature that can be aware of that silence? What is that nature? Yeah? That nature is separate, isn't it? Because our mundane mind needs sense data. True or not? Because it's dependent originating. No sense data, the eardrum cannot pick it up. Then there is no sound. Means no hearing consciousness. But when it's stillness, silent, tranquility, there is no vibration, is it? No sense data, is it? No hearing consciousness. Then who is aware of the silence, the stillness? That is your nature. That is the unconditioned. That is the one that people cannot understand. So pneumona means whatever that is not the phenomena. So your oneness nature, oh, the get me a chanting book. Otherwise, this thing will vibrate. So this oneness nature, we can call it the pneumona. How to spell? Check the what? Google. Is it something like that? Huh? It's the opposite of phenomena. Anybody with a handphone? Get one. Oh, the Heart Sutta has. So this one is NU. Cannot be a NUM. Or you type in opposite of phenomena. N-O-U, not U. Okay, I think Jayanta got it. So N-O-U, Correct or not? Yeah, okay. So this one is the opposite of a phenomena. So this oneness nature is just the awareness nature. That's why this one can be aware of silence. This is a true mind. This one is independent of sense data. It don't need any sense data. Whereas the one that is dependent originating condition arising need condition, need data. This one don't need data. That's why this one, the awareness nature, is not a being. It's not something that can come out and live like, you understand? Not? It don't have thought process. That's why it's without word, without thought, beyond thought, beyond time. So this awareness nature is just a nature within. You have to realize that. When you realize that, then you realize, you will come to realize you are that nature, that pneumono. Then what is the phenomena? Whatever that exists within that oneness. Do you understand? Do you understand? You have one nature, the oneness, that is just that nature. Everything within is the phenomena that arise and pass away. Do you understand? That's why it's the pneumona that have the overall understanding that can see clearly all the phenomenal world. Then you realize the phenomenal world is not real. It's impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Then you check. All of phenomena, including our form and mind, is all like that. But there is a nature within, when you meditate, it's not like that. That one is just that nature. You cannot claim that it's yours or you. Because that one is connected to the form and mind. It's only through the form and mind you can access that nature. That's why meditation is about, if ever you want to seek, is to seek that nature. Because that is the unconditioned. That is the nature that is already awakened. Because that one can understand. Because that one is independent of cause. No need sense data. By itself, it's already aware. And through the awareness, it can develop understanding. And this one is of higher intelligence than the thought process, the mundane mind. But this one can be aware of thought. You understand? Can be aware of the phenomenal world. Condition arising world. Cause of phenomena. But thought is incapable of touching it or accessing it. That's why it's of higher intelligence. And that intelligence is what wisdom is all about. So through this, it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can awaken. It can develop the understanding. Then this understanding that arises is connected to the form and mind. Because through that form and mind, you located this nature. Do you understand? And you use this nature to meditate, that's why when it awakens, it insight into phenomena, that understanding, that form and mind will know. So when the understanding is developed, this form and mind transform. This one, you will have the wisdom connected. So this wisdom is the understanding. This understanding came from the awakening, from the self nature or the true nature. When this one awakened, this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. And because it's connected, this form and mind or human being is no longer deluded. So this five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded. Then you can say this one is enlightened. Imply this one is enlightened. That's why when the Buddha addressed the monk, he said, this monk has become an arahant. Yes, correct. This one has become enlightened. Okay? So this five aggregate of form and mind has become enlightened. But this one is not you, understand that? Where this one is dependent originating. Dependent originating. Not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not you. That's why the enlightened being, even Sotapan, they will know this is not him. There is nobody to become enlightened. That's why in the Heart Sutta, in true emptiness, no attainment, no realization, no Dhamma, nothing. The difficulty about the teaching is this, we every time develop the atta to describe it. That's why the Buddha also under the fifth contemplation, you remember? He used the word we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So it seems there is a personality, understand? There is a being. That's why the Buddha said the human being exists. And when he talked about the fifth contemplation, he's referring to the form and mind. Do you understand? This one exists, but this one is impermanent because it's dependent originating. So I better write the word impermanent, huh? Otherwise you all may not understand. So because it's dependent originating, it is impermanent. There is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. That's why the deluded one will believe that this is what they are. That's why they get themselves entangled. They grasp and cling to this 5 area of form and mind. When they cling to the form, they worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. When they cling to feeling, they create duality and emotion. They want pleasant feeling, they reject unpleasant feeling. That is the cause of craving. Because craving is the one that conditions suffering. Whether like or dislike is the same, pleasant or unpleasant is the same, as long as there is duality. That's why every pleasurable sensation is a prelude to suffering, because you were attached, you were clean, you were grasped. So feeling is like that. Perception also same. Everything you come to perceive, you deludedly say, this is me, this is I, my wife, my children, my property, my so-called wealth, or even your professional status. You are an engineer or a lawyer or an accountant, or you are the high official, king, and other things. When you perceive and you attach, that is grasping. That's why whatever you come to perceive, the 5 aggregate will condition suffering. So feeling, we've gone through. The physical form, we've gone through. Perception, we've gone through. When you attach to sankhara, you also will suffer. How do you attach to sankhara? Sankhara is what? Mental activity, which is your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your fear, your insecurity, all these emotions are your sankhara. Everything that your mind can do. So if you attach, you cling, you become afflicted. Especially your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. That's why through words, it divides humanity. One word, race, divide into so many. Religion, again divide. Nationality, again divide. Then even within the same race, Chinese, they go all the dialect to divide. When you are among your own race, you will separate again. You go Hakka, Hokkien, Cantonese, Teochew, then go a lot of other dialects. That's why you can recall through some of this what they call cinema show, especially from Hong Kong, the Hong Kong series. They fight over what? Over dialect, race, and all those things. Then sometimes they subdivide into like groups. They label them as what type of gangster. Gangster also got so many types. Also they fight. Then they label them as government, non-government, politician, non-politician. So a lot of duality arise through lack of understanding. And the worst one is the last one, consciousness. The Buddha said that one, the analogy, is like a magician. It's really like a magician. Because everything you become conscious of, if you attach, you will suffer. What are the consciousness that you can arise? Seeing consciousness. When you attach to what you see, do you suffer? You always want all the beautiful and all those things. Then when war comes, tsunami come, destruction, then you become miserable. Then you grasp to your own physical appearance. As you age, you suffer. As you become sick, afflicted, you suffer. That's why always sickness and pending death is suffering. Birth itself will lead to suffering. So all this reality the Buddha has control. So whatever we come to perceive through our senses, even the consciousness, you attach to your hearing consciousness, nice music, beautiful voice and all those things, then suddenly the vibration become very negative. You become very unhappy. And sometimes people get angry because of that. I remember in the retreat, they can't even tolerate somebody sneezing. They ask you to get out of the meditation hall. No? You experience it or not? You have an experience, yeah. Especially those who talk and make a lot of noise. Because they say they are doing vipassana. You're not supposed to make noise. Noise can actually disturb them. Because they cannot meditate. If that type of meditation you want to learn, you learn meditation to have the wisdom to accept this reality. Right? But instead you become so sensitive, somebody make noise or talk a little bit, you cannot take it already, you go and complain already. So, there was an incident. I was there during the early days. And that person was asked to move out of the meditation hall. They like banned him from going in because he make too much noise. Then, especially when you don't have the understanding, because you can be so easily agitated or become so sensitive until in a negative connotation. Until the slightest disturbance also you cannot meditate, then what are you learning? You're not learning meditation. The real meditation is to develop the wisdom to be at peace. But you become more sensitive, you become more intolerant. Do you understand? They become so sensitive to this type of disturbance until they cannot accept it. Then they realize every time they go back to society, they say this is madhouse, crazy. They have to go back to the retreat center or they have to go somewhere quiet. Because to them, that is a crazy place. Madhouse cannot develop peace. So if that is your mind state, then you have to check. The Buddha is the Buddha because he can be at peace in the midst of life. If he only peaceful when in the monastery, then he is not the Buddha. So always remember, meditation is about wisdom, understanding. So this understanding part is very important. Coming back to this one now, because of Adam's sharing, I have gone through the meditation part, understand? There are two parts to it. First part is to develop the formal meditation. Formal meditation, you can go in if your spiritual faculty is really developed. No need to do anything. Just the four support. Relax, aware. Then, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then, of course, the last one is trust. This one you will only do after you have realized your true mind. After you have stabilized everything. Yeah. Otherwise, the first two or the first three is enough. This one you have to develop it until very stable, until the mind enters a deep. That is the first training. Yeah. But if your spiritual faculty is still not stable and you want to do it, then you need skillful means, method, technique, or whatever. Yeah. But always remember, the method, the technique, and the skillful means is not the meditation. It's just to train your mind to be awake. Then you have to stabilize it. To be ever mindful. And the only way to stabilize it is to allow your mind to realize paucity. Your paucity is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, your true nature. You're supposed to realize this true nature or oneness nature or what they call the new mono, the unconditioned. And this is the one that can be aware of everything, but there is no word. That's why it can see things as they are. It can awaken without words. that that nature understand. That that nature really understand. If you go through the thought, you can never develop the understanding. You can never awaken. That's why the real meditation is about the first hallmark of awakening, no thought. When thought ceases, that nature manifests. Actually, the nature was there all the time. But because of your sankhara activity, your mandate mind, you become lost in it. It actually dilutes you. It clouds your nature. And you forgot that you have another nature behind the thought, behind the mundane mind. So this mundane mind is the one that delude you, deceive you, and cause you to grasp and cling. That's why the five aggregates of grasping is dukkha. If you see this clearly, you can transcend the form of mind very fast. That's why immediately you will go to your true mind, the true nature. That's why the first hallmark is no thought. No need to do anything. Because the natural state before the arising of consciousness, before the stirring of mind, is already that state. Without thought, you are already that state, like swimming. Your natural state of body is buoyancy. You don't have to learn how to float, understand or not? So your natural state is awareness. Why must you learn how to be aware? Do you understand? It's like swimming. You are lighter than water. Don't have to learn how to float, isn't it? No need to hold on to a float to float. Because you don't understand. You just let everything be. Then it will float. Because the buoyancy force will push you up. So your true mind is the same. It's already aware. Why do you want to try to be aware? Practice to be aware. That one is a fallacy. That's why when you understand, you just relax, silent, the awareness will return. What you need is this five aggregate of form and mind, the mundane mind must cease. That's it. As long as it's not arising to disturb you or to cloud your true nature, then you will come to know you have another nature behind. And meditation is to understand this. The moment you understand this, you transcend. You go beyond your problem no more. This one can understand, can awaken. So the first part is formal meditation. Develop this. Realize your true mind. Stabilize it until mind enters the deep. Then, in the meantime, when you are in the midst of daily mindfulness, follow the Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps. First step, Dhamma friend, you already have. Second step, opportunity time to listen to the true Dhamma. Now you have. Every moment, every instant, because the website is there. Understand? At any one time. Then every week, we got many classes. The video is there. The audio file is there. And even the transcript notes are there. Then later on, the transcript book also will be there. So, reflect, contemplate, inquire, read through to develop the first and second turning wisdom. And this one, most of you can do. Some of you already have it. So, first and second turning wisdom, the moment you develop it, you will have the initial wisdom. You can straighten your view more and more, more and more. Then, because you put all this Dhamma into investigation, you reflect on it, you contemplate on it, you inquire, then it stand up to investigation. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become very, very stable, unshakable. That is step three. Then step four is, of course, yoniso manasikara, the first and second turning wisdom. Once you develop this step four, step five is automatic. Because your mind has entered sati, you have developed the initial wisdom. In the midst of life, your mind will not stir and react like before. It has the initial wisdom. It can see things as they are. It can accept the reality of the moment. It can accept people for what they are. That's why most of the time it's at peace. Then your mind is heedful, aware, tranquil, calm, peaceful, still, quiet most of the time. Space between thought, more and more, more and more. That's how your daily mindfulness stabilizes. Otherwise, you cannot do it. Not until your daily mindfulness stabilizes, you have yet to do the real meditation. Well, after your sati sampajana stabilizes, what is the next step? Huh? Step 6 is what? Ah! Otherwise, how to have sense restraint? You don't have that stability of mindfulness and clear comprehension. You can't even see the subtle defilement. You want to practice sense restraint. You can't keep your precept, I tell you. Because the very subtle defilement, you cannot see the anusaya, or you cannot see the latent tendency. The asaba. That's why the Buddha has this few words. Kelesa, anusaya, asaba. You know the difference between the three, right? Huh? You haven't heard. Kehun, huh? Okay, kelesa. You come out and write. Write the word. Yeah, kelesa. No. K-I. K-I. Right, kilesa. L-E-S-A. Kilesa. Second one, anusaya. K-N-U. S-A. Y-A. Then, asava. A-S-A-V-A. I think it's this three. All these are actually defilements, but they have different meaning. Kelesa is a general term. Whatever defilement that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is kelesa. Okay? Can you understand? Then what is anusaya? This is latent tendency. Understand? Although they are kelesa, but this is a special type of kelesa. Latent tendency. They are latent inside you, but you don't know. Well, nobody step on your tail. Nobody instigate you. When somebody instigate you and step on your toe, then this one, anusaya, surface. Eckhart Tolle call it the pain body. He said when the pain body is dormant, then it doesn't surface. Pain body means what? It's also a very good term. The body that can have pain, understand? When you touch it, it becomes painful. That's why it's called pain body. He said pain body is dormant. Means you can still have that pain body inside you, but you are peaceful. When nobody instigate you, understand? Nobody disturb you. So these are latent tendency, and you develop them through what? Through your habits. Understand? Through your conditioning, the way you do things. That's why people will know one. Certain people got certain type of latent tendency. Like last time we got one Kayanamita. You talk about politics, you die already. So a lot of people got various type of latent tendency. Then asava is even more powerful. You know what is asava? No? It's so like that defilement is so strong, it's waiting to erupt, understand? No? Asava. Waiting to erupt. The worst is to have asava. If you have this one, without wisdom you cannot do anything. You cannot control. This one no need condition. No? Nobody step on you also, you can come out. Certain people are by nature violent one. You understand? No? That's why wherever they go, they tell you all one. Oh, that one is asava. They're very authoritative one. In Cantonese, yao hui gong wo lei gong. So when you have this type of spouse, thank your good karma. Or thank your whatever karma you do in the past. So when it comes to this kilesa, anusaya, and asava, the Buddha got a sutta, Sabba Asava Sutta. Is it somewhere there? It's a pink book, I think. The one who know and see. Knowing and seeing, the Klangpok. Do you know what the Buddha say? Sabba Asavak Sutta. Sabba means all, yeah. The Sutta on all Asavak. Wonderful, right? That type of defilement is the worst of all the three. Yeah. He said, you can only liberate if you have these two qualities. The one who knows and see, but the word know is wrong. The one who understand and see only can be free from asava. The one who doesn't know and doesn't see can never liberate from asava. You go back and read this sutta. That yeah, yeah, use that mic. I will answer you. Very good question.
I mean that as you, yeah. As the line of my job.
Yeah,
is
yeah. Yeah, yeah. According to your profession.
Yeah. Some career. Are just born that way, so we have to send them to clinicians. When they diagnose them with bipolar or schizo.
Yeah,
or personality disorder.
According to your profession, is that type of disorder? You call it personality disorder, yeah.
But as we get to know them, it's something that they cannot help themselves. They are just really disordered.
I already told you.
Asava.
No, karma, nasana, nothing to do with what you are diagnosing. Do you understand? You know what is karma? It's karmic conditioning. Like those people in depression, OCD. What is OCD? Obsessive compulsive disorder. They are suffering, you know. Do you think they purposely choose to be in that state of mind? Because they cannot control the thought. They don't know what is happening. And this thought is very obsessive. They're very compulsive. And they forgot one word. Very intrusive. It intrudes into your brain. Understand how? People with depression, they have these three, not only OCI, obsessive, compulsive, and intrusive. They will like override all the other thought, right? Keep on coming on their thought. That's why they break down, they can't sleep, they become very depressed. All this is because of coming. When it's from your past karma, because you created so much fear and mental problem to people, that's why when it comes, it attacks you in multi-form. OCD become OCID. So all these people is all coming. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So when it comes to karma, you need Dhamma to free their mind. Oh, I didn't bring that book. Last Tuesday I share one. Wait. Oh yeah, I didn't bring the book. The yellow book. No, the talk I gave at HJBA in the year 2013. Depression one. Importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to solve human suffering. About depression, that book. Go and read that book. Very good. The whole talk is on that. 2013. I think you have a light yellow one. Light yellow. Light yellow. There is also one sutta on the drum one, you know, with the back one. What is the name of that sutta? What is the name of that sutta? Ah, yes. Yeah, you are lucky. You have this book. Yeah. This book is very good. The transcript. Yeah. Go. 寄一本給我讀給他聽。Come. This is for you because you are in this profession. You see, I wrote that hypnosis. You turn to the third page, I think. Oh no, page 5. Hypnosis and Notice of Talk by SJBA. The title of the talk is Importance of Mindfulness and Heedfulness to Cope with Life's Problem and Suffering, a Method of Stress Release via Meditation. That's why without Dhamma, without meditation, you cannot root them out. Dhamma talk on the importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problem and suffering. Brad Teo is giving a Dhamma talk at SJBA this Sunday, 23rd June 2013. At 10 a.m. on the topic Importance of Mindfulness and Heedfulness to Cope with Life's Problem and Suffering. As this topic is very relevant to life, it is hoped that you all can find time to attend this rather important talk. Human suffering are very real and many people are afflicted by it. Even our youngsters are not exempted from it. Some of them can be very traumatic with suicidal thought, grief, sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, leading to severe depression and sadness, etc., are very common nowadays. Some consult doctors, psychiatrists, medium, feng shui master. Some even seek God, religion, and friend for help. But are they really effective? That is the question. Are they really effective? Maybe, I say, some are. But most of them are only temporary solution, which may not be effective at all. They finally didn't really solve the problem. Instead, can meditation together with understanding, means wisdom, and medication help? Well, initially when they are very serious, some form of medication is needed to stabilize their condition. But this medication are most of the time drug, understand or? It's addiction, addiction. You need stronger dose on. Many of these depressed people came and see me. You know what happened? One of them, I remember Champaka. He was a very successful guy. But the sister came to my class. That time I was having a Saturday class at Champaka. Then one day he came and see me. She, the sister, he said, "Brother Teo, my brother got big problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I also don't know. People say he is very depressed. Suicidal thought. He has a lot of problem. He cannot get along with the wife, the two children." Then what he didn't tell me was, he got a mistress. And the karma hit back. That's why you better be careful. This story is very good because I also forgot his name. So don't worry. I can't remember his face, I remember. But he came out of, after 6 months. Yeah, completely out of it. You know what he told me? He went and see psychiatrist. Because he couldn't control already. Until the sleeping pill that they gave to him, the tranquilizer, initially worked. Sleep for a few hours, very happy. After he take for a period of time, I think a week or two, can't even last 1 hour, he said. After that, he cannot sleep. And that thought, like he said, I learned from him. He said, "This thought is terrible," he said. "Keep on coming, I cannot stop it." Then I say, "Is it like very, very obsessive?" He said, "Yeah, very compulsive." "Yeah, very intrusive." Everything also there. So I cannot tell him it's a disorder. I say, "This is coming." Initially, he come to my class. He can't listen at all. No. He was full of fear and problem. And he... One thing he very good, I think he got no choice already. He waited my class and everybody left already. He he told the sister to keep me there. Then he appeared. Then I said, oh, you are the one. I said, okay, come, sit down. Then he told me his story. So I said, I can help you, but you must help yourself. I don't do it for you. I can only explain to you how you can come out of it. So I asked him to attend my class. He cannot listen at all. He was having this big problem. So I explained to him, I said, very simple. Your mind is like that because of karma, I said. You believe or don't believe, it's up to you. But the problem is with you, not with me. I said, but if you want to give it a try, at least it might help. So first thing first, I said, you have to ask for forgiveness. So I passed him the chanting book with the forgiveness or something. Then he did it. Then I said, you come to the class, pay respect to Triple Gem, do all the meritorious action, listen, I said. You cannot understand also, never mind, listen to the vibration. Then I teach him how to meditate, means loving kindness, mind sweeping method. So I say, when you do this, you will feel better because this is calmness energy. Your depression, your whatever problem, you are full of fear. You cannot sleep. A lot of negative energy field from your karmic past because of what you did in the past. And this life also, he get into all this trouble. I have to tell you the real story. Because he actually get into big trouble. Then he came for 3 months. He consistently come. And he recovered very well. He said, until now I no need to take tranquilizer and sleeping pill. I can sleep already. Then after he recovered, you know what he told me? He said, Brother Teo, to be honest, my problem started when I had this girlfriend. You know what happened? The wife knew, actually, that he has a girlfriend outside, mistress on the road. So the girlfriend, the wife got so mad. You know, the worst thing is to make a woman angry. She really want to take revenge. It's like in Cantonese, you got mo ho ya ji. In English, how to translate? Don't have a good day. 没有好日子过. You know what happened or not? He just get angry at him and he just scolded him and said, okay, you think you're so great, you can have a miserable. I also know how to spend money. You think only you know how to spend. You start spending money, then someone never know. The credit card, you go and use. Then the children, the two, I want to send international school. I want to hire me. I don't want to do all this thing anymore. Actually, he got a good job. He got some money. He panic until all this money, the wife spent. Mistress, of course, also need to spend. He got cash flow problem. Then the business get into trouble. Then in the office, his staff all, the partner also sabotage against him. I say, all this is a karmic thing. When it come in bundle. So I say, unless you ask for forgiveness, repent, then evoke power of merits for turnaround, means by the power of whatever merits that you have done over the 3 to 6 months that he did the meditation, you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover. Then radiate love, radiate metta and everything. Then after that he recovered. Then he told me all this. He said, relatively luckily, after that I resolved things according to your advice. Follow Noble Eightfold Path, don't get angry, don't be fearful, just solve problem. Then resolve the relationship problem, ask for forgiveness from the wife. That's how he did it. And he came out of it. He went and see psychiatry, cannot. Because that sleeping pill, initially got effect, after a while, it can't even last 1 hour. Make him worse, is it? he got this panic attack. He was full of fear and misery and depression. Want to sleep, cannot sleep. No, that is the worst. No, is it? He is willing to pay a lot to have the ability to sleep. So this is what life is all about. I better read this one. If you are interested in such topic, then do come to the talk. You can bring your friend if you like. So hope to see you on that day. So you read the book, the whole thing on my talk. Then there was a doctor, psychiatrist. He was the first one to ask question. And he said, this is the best Dhamma talk I have ever heard. Because I describe the first noble truth. Reality, inside detail, you know. I think more detail than doctors. Because it's about depression. Yeah, these are the people who came and talked to me and their problem. And the way I bring them out of the problem is very simple. I say, luckily your karma not so bad. Otherwise, with this negative energy field, your immune system will go down. You will get cancer and all those things. But because after going through, you still normal health, I say, didn't end up in cancer, traumatic disease, and all that, and at least karma-wise, not so bad. So a lot of these things can be resolved through understanding the nature's law, especially the Buddha Dhamma. Yeah. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very wonderful, very beautiful. And next Sunday, not this Sunday, I will give another talk. You saw the title. What is the title? Oh, must read. Understanding life, its meaning and purpose, from a perspective of a Buddhist, from a Buddhist perspective. You have to understand life. If you don't understand life, you don't know how to live life. If you don't understand life, how can you talk about its purpose and meaning? That's why a lot of people don't know how to live life, but they don't understand life. And when you don't understand life, you become afflicted, miserable. From a Buddhist perspective, it's because the Buddha's teaching is so wonderful. That's why it has to be from a Buddhist perspective. Because as human beings, we know that each and every individual, we are different. We have our life priority different. So to us, different people have different meaning to life. True or not? Huh? Then your purpose also different, isn't it? So how can you cover all? You can't. That's why I limit to from the perspective of a Buddhist, so that no need to argue. But basically, you can resolve it because there is this. How many of you study management? Maslow's need hierarchy, you heard before that. So this need hierarchy is a typical hierarchy that most human beings follow. You understand? What is the first need hierarchy? The very basic. Basic need is food and shelter, isn't it? When you don't have food and shelter, you where got priority in life? Your priority is to get a job, understand, or pay for your food. So during the time of my father, I remember, he told me, people are willing to work for free as apprentice, but they will be given food and shelter, understand? So priority is a later consideration. As long as I have food and shelter, then I will be very contented with life. But after they have food and shelter, they will look for a secure job in there. That is a second hierarchy. So secure job leading to wealth, financial freedom and all those things. Then after that, the need different again. Self-esteem. They want not only health, they want recognition, understand? They want promotion. They want to become somebody. So self-esteem is you try to achieve higher goals, understand? Then after that, you look for the other one. The other one is the sense of belonging and love. Means start a family, have girlfriend, have boyfriend. So these are the hierarchy. Then after that, to have spouse, to have girlfriend, boyfriend, you think of having a nice car, a nice home. So all this will come. Then after that, you will move on further, your ambition in life. They call it the final one, self-actualization. You want to actualize what you want to do in life. Like you want to be a very famous scientist or a very successful entrepreneur or in the field of sports and athletic champion of the world, world number one and all those things. So many of these are materialistic, holy. But when it comes to the spiritual aspect, that self-actualization of that realization of enlightenment is very noble and very difficult to realize. Then apart from that, there are many things that I will cover because life is not easy. Yeah. How many of you really understand life and know how to live life? You think it's easier? Not easy. That day I will try to share so that after the talk, everybody will know how to plan their life for the better, improve on their life. Yes, can. Yeah.
Can meditation cause a person to chow for your more?
Yeah, lah, you ask question like Adam.
Oh,
last time he asked before.
Oh.
You meditate that type of meditation, then very high chance. You focus, energy feel one, concentrate on jhana or not, that one very high chance.
I got this student who told me that she went to Dhamma class and I was with her in the Dhamma class. She says I cannot understand her, which I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She can meditate until the body...
Yeah, la, come out. La.
Come out.
Like Adam. Come out.
And then when she went for her medical practice,
No, the whole astral body come out.
She developed a mental
disorder. Yeah. And these are all energy field.
And it attacked her in the
The non-human attack her.
So
get into big trouble.
A lot of panic, la, within
not only panic. There was one case. Oh, you didn't hear about that. That one when I attend Vipassana. That old lady. He came to Chempaka Saturday class meditation after so many years. Then after the class where she heard me explain, don't touch energy field, don't concentrate, don't go and do all those things. After the class he came and see me. Say, Brother, I got something to share with you. Oh, I say, come. Then he told me. She attended one type of 10-day Vipassana. First two sessions was very good, fantastic, very calm. The mind state, like your friend, can concentrate, can see light, energy, everything. Then the mind, very powerful. Then after that, he attend a few more. Then he get into big trouble. No? He said, there was one incident after he went to the retreat, the third day I remember he said he get into this problem, the non-human came and attacked her, no? And she was full of fear, she don't know what to do, no? So she dare not meditate, walk out of the meditation center. The non-human actually threatened her, say a lot of things to her, then she start to fear. So what happened was, she tried to avoid that, she went to sleep. You know what happened to her in the sleep? She dreamt of that non-human. And he dreamt of that non-human actually pull his hair out of the skull. At first he thought it was a dream. No? You know what happened when she woke up? Blood all over, the hair all gone. That's why after that she never go for meditation anymore. Yeah. But then I asked her why she came for the Cempaka class. She said, well, I heard yours is different. You don't concentrate on, you mindful on it. Aware, I want to learn about awareness. So she was older than me at that time. And that was what happened. And I said, how come not reported? Then I was told, all this they cover up. They cover up. Yeah. That's why the news never come out. In fact, it was quite common. Not only that type of problem, but similar type of problem where they get into trouble because of concentration. So, 着火要摸 means run fire. Enter Mara. So how to run fire? You play with energy, then only got fire. For here. You concentrate, you focus. One pointedness. That's why it will have this problem. But if you do just relax, aware, pure vipassana, there is no energy build up. Whatever they want to build up, relax into it. There, see? Relax into what? Relax into every mind state that arise. So how can it build up? How can chao for? How do you more? Mara come from your greed. Your greed for psychic ability. Your greed for fantastic meditation. That's why when you have no greed, you won't end up with all this problem. Meditation has to be done with understanding. Means what? You meditate to develop what? Wisdom to free. Beyond nothing else free. Your mind. Except wisdom. That's why this one must be connected. This one. If you meditate not to develop wisdom, want to become famous, fantastic meditative power, then nobody can help you. Because your greed for all the powers, special meditative ability, this one will get you into trouble. But if you develop wisdom, wisdom cannot get you into trouble. Wisdom will get you out of trouble. Understand? Yeah? So no need to worry. Yeah? Get on. Yeah. What's the time now? 10:30 already. The drum one, what is the name of the sutta? Here also got explained Kilesa, Anusaya, and Asava. This sutta I explained. The whole thing is there. I read to you. The Buddha spoke. Cannot already. 10:30 already. Okay, this part only. The Buddha spoke this Sabba Asavak Sutta. What is Asavak? Yes, defilement, the various type of defilements. There are a few Pali terms word used to describe defilements. The other Pali terms you often heard of is Anusaya. The word you heard. Oh, sorry. This word, have you heard before? What is anusaya? Yeah, latent tendency. These are latent tendency that lay dormant within the mind. You tend to have those tendency unless you are already enlightened. Otherwise, these latent tendency are always there. But they don't arise because there is no condition for them to arise. Like nobody disturb you and there is no condition for you to react or to activate it. Then the rest is Eckhart one, pain body also I mentioned there. There is this sutta, I forgot what's it's a sutta on emptiness. He said, this sutta is very good, no? I forgot the name, it's somewhere there. Yeah? Anyway, the next time, when we come for the Thursday class, I go back and see which page, yeah, then I will fold it up, then I will share with you. It is very good. That one is on the back. Every time they got difference in opinion, they will whack one peg inside that drum. They whack until finally, no more peg can go in. The whole drum also gone. That's a human being, difference of opinion so many, you know. And that one is from the sutta, you know. And that sutta is very good. He said something like that. He said, the division and all this will happen when the sutta, the teaching, which is very deep in its meaning on emptiness, are taught, and the monks refuse to accept this teaching. Yeah. It is all described inside there. Yeah. Ani Sutta. Yeah, correct. Ani Sutta. Oh, thank you. Now I remember Ani Sutta. A-N-I. Ani Sutta. Ani Sutta. It's somewhere inside here. Never mind. Yeah. So I will share with you next Thursday. Yeah. Ani Sutta. That sutta was very good. And this book is very good, I tell you. 7 ways to root out all the aswak. Finally, it's wisdom. Wisdom and understanding. You can only have the wisdom when you understand and you have the direct seeing. That's why knowing and seeing, or understanding and seeing. He who understand and see can free from asava. Some books, they use the word fermentation instead of asava. Fermentation. I don't know why they use the English word. Ferment means what? Rotten already. Means asava. That is fermentation. Means the mind state is rotten. For man already become so bad. Okay, then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then you all can make your aspiration. Akasata cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyati Menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo satukalena sasa sampatihito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko Dimina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patia Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Then here I am. Thank you. Today I have to leave early because my eldest brothers are here. So I will make a motion. You all go ahead with the food.